This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Tony Brewski, thanks for joining us. Witness testimony today in the trial of Alex Murdaugh for the defense paints another dark picture of Alex Murdaugh. Former friend of Alex testified that the disgraced lawyer's story has changed a few times after the murders of his wife and son. Mark Ball said there was an inconsistency in his story about whether Murdaugh checked on Paul or Maggie first upon discovery of their bodies. This is audio from court. Take a listen.
He was a good partner. He was a good lawyer. He was someone in part of your business, somebody that you could trust and rely on. Is that true?
Yes, he was.
And outwardly, you thought that he had a good relationship with his family. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But you have just testified that you didn't really know this man, did you?
Obviously, I did not. I mean, had we known the things he was doing, we wouldn't have been law partners.
You were asked about the kennel video.
Yes, sir.
And you've had a chance to review that kennel video?
A couple of times.
And you and I have talked quite a few times, is that correct?
We have. I didn't see the kennel video until probably a month or two ago.
But you've reviewed it here recently, is that correct?
I have, several times.
All right. And any doubt in your mind that Alex Murdaugh, Maggie, and Paul were on that kennel video at 8:44 p.m. on June 7th, 2021?
None.
No doubt in your mind?
No doubt.
Do I need to play it for you again, or no doubt in your mind?
I played it all the way here.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. And we'll talk more in some detail, but I want to go ahead and cover this. You saw Alex the night of the murders.
I did.
And you knew Maggie very well, and you knew Paul very well.
I did.
And you went to the scene where Alex was, is that right?
I did.
And did you even ride with Alex or take Alex back over to the house?
I'm pretty sure he rode back over to the house. I think he and Randy, because their vehicles were impounded over there.
And did you eventually, as things started to move forward, sit down on the couch with him back at the house?
I did.
Fix yourself a liquor drink?
Probably a heavy one.
I get it. And did you talk to Alex about what he did that night?
I don't know whether it was... I know on the couch we talked, but I talked to him several times, including before the masses got there, as to trying to figure out, do you know anything? Do you know, have any idea who did this?
Because you were very concerned. You want to get to the bottom of this, right?
Well, for a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons. For the family, for what happened to Maggie and Paul, for the law firm, for all the people involved?
All of it. I mean, safety of, you know, if it was something to do with him and the law practice, we didn't want somebody to show back up at the front door and harm our folks. We didn't want them to harm any of the other lawyers' families. If it was some person that was deranged, we just didn't know. I mean, this isn't an ordinary occurrence in your practice of law.
You thought you were his buddy, been partners for 34 years. Y'all are sitting on the couch, is that right?
Like family.
And you start talking to him. Is he responding to your questions appropriately?
He was.
Answering the correct subject matter?
He was. He was very upset, obviously.
Sure. I mean, but he was answering your questions. He wasn't unable to make sentences.
He was. Yeah.
And did you talk to him about what he did that night?
Yeah.
And did he deny ever going down to those kennels to his buddy and law partner of 34 years?
He said that he ate dinner, laid down on the couch, took a nap, and then left to check on him.
And now you know that's not true from seeing the kennel video, right?
I do.
And that wasn't the only time he told you that, is it?
No, at least three times.
At least three times. And this would be over the subsequent days?
Yes, sir.
Subsequent conversations that you had with him?
Yes, sir.
And he was always clear that he never went down to those kennels after they ate dinner?
It was the same version of it, but it wasn't always just me.
Okay, and we'll talk about that. Who else was present in some of those conversations?
Well, I mean, there were other law partners, and I can't tell you exactly who all was there, but I mean, I know on that Thursday following this, I heard him say it then.
Okay, and there were other law partners there?
Yes.
Were their family there?
I don't know whether they were in the room at the time or not. I just know there were law partners there.
Was Jim Griffin there?
I can't speak as to what... He was present on the property, but I don't know whether he was there.
And did Alec tell the same version of events that he never went down to those kennels?
Yeah, he did, but I don't know whether Mr. Griffin was there. We were there before Mr. Griffin was there.
Did, in his conversations with you, did he ever change his story about who he checked first at the scene, supposedly?
I've heard it both ways, and I don't know whether it's just a... I don't know whether it's just because of the trauma of the situation, but one time it was... the first time I remember, he checked Maggie first and then went to Paul. And then I heard him say at one point that it was Paul and then it was Maggie. It didn't really matter to me. It wasn't something I really was picking up on because it was horrendous either way. I mean, I can't imagine seeing my wife dead and my son dead in such a brutal manner. So I never put any real stock in that. But it did. It oscillated.
It did oscillate from what he was saying.
From the first time I heard it.
But story change.
Well, yeah, as to which was which.
Over the days following this event, this law firm, as you said, was like a family, right?
It was.
You thought you were very close to this man, just like you feel close to your other law partners and their families and the staff and everybody else.
It wasn't just the lawyers that felt that way. It was, I mean...
The paralegals.
The paralegals were there. Yeah. The law firm shut down. They were also on... We had to go on a heightened alert. I contacted SLED about what we should be doing because there was a statement that came out about there was no... They didn't know of any danger to the public, and we're left with trying to make sure that the 60 or 75 people that work with us are all safe and they go home to their families. And SLED responded. I called the lieutenant over here, and he called me back that evening and, you know, was very helpful as far as trying to tell us, you know, he said, I don't know of any specific threats, but you know, here's some precautions, and I think what y'all are doing is the right thing, and they were helpful. But there was still that undertow of, you know, who did this, and are they going to... And it just... People were just on edge all the time.
And you're not a criminal lawyer or prosecutor, I think you said.
I'm not.
But still a lawyer, and so you and your partners, including his brother Randy, were very focused on trying to figure out what happened here, what is wrong here, correct? What happened on June 7th, 2021, right? Very focused on that, were you not?
We were. I mean, it was taking a lot of time off.
But he was not, was he? You've said that before, have you not?
I have said that, but I don't know, Mr. Waters, how I would respond if I'd lost, and I've told you the same thing. I don't know how you're supposed to react when you lose your wife and your child in such a brutal manner. But no, to answer your question, I didn't see him on the phone like I was trying to call clients and did you hear anything, did you see anything, those kinds of things. So, I mean, the answer is no, I didn't see him doing that. I wasn't around him all the time, but no, I did not.
And you've already testified that you and other law partners and family and staff were very concerned about potential threats because of what happened on June 7th, is that right?
Very concerned.
And you thought it odd, though, that he was not concerned about any threats even to Buster, correct?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. The night that this happened, I asked Alec where Buster was, and he said, we've gotten a hold of him, Brooklyn's bringing him. And I said, are you sure he's all right? And he said, yeah, he's riding with Brooklyn. And I said, you think he needs any protection or something along those lines. I don't know that it was exactly those words. And he said, they'll be here in a little while. He'll be fine. But he was so addled, I didn't hang anything on anything Alec was saying.
But after that, in the days that followed, You continued to interact with him. He never asked for any protection or expressed any concern about protection for Buster, did he?
Not to me. He did not.
Not to you.
And, you know, the only thing I can tell you is that 4th of July, he came to Ronnie Crosby's house, and he had a pistol in his bag, which was, to me, was unusual. And, of course, in classic Alec, Buster, and Paul style, he ended up leaving the bag there when they left.
That's the latest that we have for you right here. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any breaking updates on the case as we continue to follow it in court. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.